everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. And you know what's happening next. We have an announcement because this is the summer of announcements. Yes.
And we want to make sure you hear it. So we put it at the beginning and not the end.
Yeah, sorry. But this one's a good one. I mean, they're all good. So as most of you know, we have a Patreon. And that lets you take your Dateline date with Dateline experience to the next level. A private, secret level. Ooh. And it is a really amazing community that we've built. But some people have been wanting an alternative to Patreon. And so we have done that for you.
Yay! Cheers! Yay!
It's called Supercast, and they're awesome. They have a great team there. Shout out Rob, shout out Jason. And Patreon is not going anywhere. Don't panic. That's why this is called an alternative. And I'm saying this very specifically because I know I'm going to get some messages. Oh my God, is my Patreon going away? What's happening?
No.
It's not going away.
No.
This is an alternative. But Supercast is really awesome. It's designed specifically for podcasts. They have great customer service, like really good tech support, all of that. And you can listen to our bonus content on any podcast player, including Spotify, which you can't get on Patreon. So it's pretty awesome, and they make it really easy to sign up for the bonus content. And the tiers are basically the same as Patreon. So for $5 a month, just to review, you get our bonus content. You get a full-length bonus true crime episode every month. You get 90 Day Fiancé. Sometimes you get some bloopers and stuff like that. You're going to get this cool thing that Supercast does called AMA, which is Ask Me Anything. Young people, hip people know what AMA means. And do they? They do.
Yes.
I just learned like last week.
It sounds like a degree. I got my AMA.
Yeah.
At Collins University. That's what it sounds like.
So you could put like on the website on Supercast, you can put in questions. We're going to answer them. We're probably going to do a monthly bonus episode where we answer questions.
Quarterly.
Quarterly. Depends on how many questions we get.
No. What we should probably do is when we get 25 questions, we'll go ahead and answer them. How about that?
Do you know how long it will take us to answer 25 questions with the length that we talk?
Well, some of them are just going to be a baseline refusal to answer. Because I don't want to talk about myself.
So, okay, so yeah. Katie, the third word in AMA is what?
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say answer all or die. I can
just ask
AAD.
Me anything.
I can refuse.
What if we say AMA asterisk ESS, which means accept sex stuff.
No, or within reason, WR, within reason. Or sex, who would ask that?
Okay, and then the $10 tier, you get everything mentioned above, but you also get our monthly live streams, which are so much fun. We have the best community. We record our episodes live, and you can submit alternative titles in the chats. Everyone in the chats is so freaking funny. You can join our book club that we do quarterly, and these are good tiers to be on. And then the $25 tier is you get a shout out on the show and you get a Date with Dateline mug in the mail. But the big news to say thank you, if you consider signing up for Supercast, if you sign up by the end of August, we give you 1 month free off of any of the monthly plans.
Ooh.
And that's for people coming over from Patreon, and that's for new supporters. You can also pay yearly on Supercast. You can do that on Patreon too. We just haven't set it up yet, but you can pay yearly as well. But you can get a month off if you sign up by the end of August. So,
and so just to review, if you're already supporting us on Patreon, first of all, thank you, and you're the best.
Thank you.
If you already are and you don't feel like changing, you don't have to. Nothing will change on Patreon.
Yeah.
If you're not supporting us on Patreon, you can join us on Supercast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you...
Maybe you listen on Spotify and you didn't have that option before.
And if you decide to switch, you're going to get the same thing you would on Patreon on Supercast. It's not going to be different content on both.
Right. So you will get a month free, though.
I guess what I'm trying... Yes, you will. I'm just trying to say you don't feel like you need to sign up for both because there's going to be different content on one than on the other. It will be the same content. So
except for the AMAs, which will
except for the Ask Me Anything, which will just be Supercast. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay. If you have questions, let us know.
Join us on Supercast. Sounds like super fun.
Yeah. You can go to datedateline.supercast.com and make sure you're following us on social media because we will have more, you know, promos about this thing that we're doing. So And thank you for everyone who suggested it. And thank you for Reality Gaze, by the way, for giving Supercast such a glowing recommendation.
Thank you, Reality Gaze.
Love you guys. So this episode is another repeat. Now, I want to be so clear. I don't know why I feel like people aren't listening and I need to use my serious voice.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Now I'm Friday worried. Night's episode was another one of these not murder mystery, but an incredibly important societal episode that is not to be missed.
Got it.
But we are not covering it because that's not the kind of episode we do. But it is an incredibly well-done episode hosted by Lester Holt himself.
There you
and
go.
It is a hard episode to watch, but it is. That's why it's so important to watch, because it's so hard to watch. You can't miss it because it's hard. It's incredible. Highly, I'm insisting.
If Lester's doing the episode, we generally won't cover it because it means it's something like that. So that's just a good tell.
But just to be clear, if people are like, oh, they don't care about societal issues, we I don't definitely, think anyone thinks that we don't care.
We definitely care, and I think people know by now. But if you don't and you're new to our channel, we won't be covering those.
Yeah. But if you want to discuss it with me on social media, I have so many thoughts about Friday's episode. So this episode is a repeat from Peacock. And they're usually on Peacock, except for that weird episode last week.
But it was a crazy episode. Also, I'm shocked we didn't do this. We haven't covered this week's yet. How have we not covered this episode yet?
I know. I only caught it on ID or something. And I was like, what? I don't know this episode.
This is fantastic. This week's episode is amazing. I'm
it
very
is called
excited.
What Lies Beneath.
Oh boy.
And I'm not talking about the Michelle Pfeiffer
movie.
But that's a pretty good movie, y'all. So it is season 23, episode 20, February 6th, 2015. It's hosted by Dennis. You know Katie needed a Dennis in here.
Oh, I was so excited. I was so excited.
And it's in Florida, so he's on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
He starts by saying, you don't need a moon over Miami for it to be beautiful at night. And in my head, I said, what about a moon over my hammy?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how poignant that would be until later. Wow. But I actually think I'm thinking of the wrong restaurant now. Is moons over my hammy?
You certainly are.
Denny's?
It is a Denny's.
Okay. I'm well, sorry. So then that didn't even make sense. But just so you know, I did have that thought.
I had this exact same. I mean, when you hear moon over my, Denny's did that to us.
Yeah, they did it to us. Some people are scared of Biscayne Bay and its dark waters, afraid of the creatures that lurk below, afraid of the creatures that lurk above, who scuttle through the night on secret errands. Secret errands.
Keith, where are you at?
This is Keith. Did he get Keith to write this for him?
No.
I love this.
He was just feeling frisky.
So there's a woman named Lynn Friend, and she was lovely. She was a good friend. She was a good neighbor. She was all-American. Her friend said she had a smile from here to California, which is, like, very contagious. It lights up a whole continent, basically. She had a five-year-old son, Christian, and we meet her coworker and friend, Esther Sanchez, maid of honor in her wedding, to Clifford Friend, her husband. She had Christian with Clifford, and she made him one of the most photographed babies in Florida. Samira Frosch has entered the chat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had
Samira Frosch is also, unfortunately, has passed away. Well, it was another Dateline episode, the bottom of the pool. But she had the most photographed baby in Florida, I have to say. That child was an influencer.
I forgot that was in Florida. I thought that was in Georgia. But Christian was the most photographed baby because he had a baby mullet, and it was stellar.
This family and their hair is this
Did you
hair
see
journey.
The baby mullet?
I saw the baby mullet
with the curls. It was really good.
Yeah. Well, it was the 90s.
Yeah, in Florida.
There you go.
Baby mullet.
She was over the moon at being a mom, and then I thought, is Dennis doing a moon thing? Are we going to be hearing about moon a lot? I thought it's been 10 seconds, we've heard moon twice, but then we never heard moon again.
Mm.
Did you think that as well?
The tides, though. I didn't.
Yeah.
But
she was not over the moon at being Mrs. Clifford Friend.
Oh, boy.
Also, Clifford is a big red dog. He is not a person. I can't.
I'm sort of surprised again. Sorry, I know that I was really ridiculous about Marcus versus Mark last episode, but I'm going to do it again here. Because there is someone that calls him Cliff.
Yeah.
What did he go by?
I think he went by Clifford mostly. Most of the people call him Clifford.
I'm going to be clear. If there's a Dateline about me, don't call me Catherine.
Yeah, no, that would be weird.
Okay, cool.
So Clifford and Lynn get a divorce because one marriage couldn't handle all that achy breaky hair. It was just too much pressure. All three of them had achy breaky hair.
She had the best feathered wings I've seen in a minute.
Oh, yeah. And we will get to Clifford's hair.
Yeah.
So she started dating Ed O'Dell, a Southern gentleman. Yeah. And they got engaged, planned to move to Nashville. She had sole custody of Christian, but she agreed to let Clifford have visitation rights. So this is in 1994. She's moving to Nashville. She's packing up her house. Ed calls. She says, I'm running out for a minute, but I'll call you when I come back. She doesn't call him back. So Ed leaves her a bunch of messages about how worried he was. Esther, who happens to be her friend, coworker, and neighbor in the same complex.
Best friend.
Sees that Lynn's car isn't there and leaves a message and says, I noticed your car's not there. You didn't tell me you were going anywhere. I'm really worried.
Good friend.
It is. It's a lot. And then the next day, a neighbor sees Lynn's car half a mile away with a flat tire. But I do love that everyone's keeping an eye out for Lynn and her car.
Well, and I think the move was a big deal, right? She'd been there a long time. She's doing a mid-country move, multi-state move, mm-hmm. right? And so Esther's probably already upset that she's leaving. So I don't know if that would be how she normally would be. But I think in this case,
right.
It was like, this is my last 48 hours with my best friend.
Right.
Where is she?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Police come and Esther lets them in and they see things that are weird at the house. Lynn was very neat and frugal, but now the TV is on, the lights are on, the air conditioning's on. Thank God it's Florida.
Right.
It needs to be on all the time. So Lynn is now missing and Ed is on the news saying, I just want Lynn back. We're getting married. I want to take her away and live happily ever after.
That's sweet.
It's sweet.
Ed seems like a man of few words. Ed seems to be having he's very emotional.
He's very emotional. He's having a hard time with this.
Yeah.
So her friends search and are handing out flyers. You know how I feel about a search party. We even see an actual map with grid lines in Sharpie. And they're saying, who's taking this search area here? These were good friends. Yeah. So then we meet this detective with thick head of hair, and he says there are no signs that anyone had broken in and taken Lynn. Her car had a waist pouch, which is that like a fanny pack?
That is exactly what that is. And okay. I'm okay.
It
that
was the 90s.
That might be the official police term for a fanny pack. I was curious about waist pouch. I'd never heard that. I think he felt like fanny pack was slang and we weren't going to be using slang in a Dateline interview.
He's too proper. No DNA or fingerprints of somebody else around. So nothing that suspicious. Weird. And so Denny. See, I'm thinking of Denny's now.
Yeah, you are.
Dennis says, so you're not getting the forensics aha moment.
Oh, Dennis.
So Lynn had a ton going on right now. She is moving. She is getting married. She maybe just got stressed and left. No. No one believes she got stressed and left because she loved her son, the most photographed baby in Florida.
Right.
So does 5-year-old Christian know anything? Precious little, Dennis says.
Yeah.
Because he was with his dad for the weekend. Clifford had also moved on, and he was engaged to a woman in Texas named Janet. Janet appears on Dateline. And she says, Clifford called me and said that Lynn had disappeared. So we tried to shield Christian from the news. But, you know, Janet thinks that he is not involved at all. It's not even a question in her mind. Damn it, Janet.
Yeah. Janet comes off a little defensive.
Yeah.
Right from the jump.
Yeah.
No, we shielded him. It's okay. We're not accusing you of not shielding him. Right. We're just asking, you know, it's just that's a polite question to ask.
Yeah. Dan is crying on the news saying, I won't give up. Lynn is my life. I have to believe for Christian's sake that she's alive. I'm sorry, Ed. I said Dan. I don't know who Dan is.
I'm not sure who Dan is either. It's fine.
Ed was crying on the news. He is pleading for anyone for help. He even started writing to President Clinton.
Wow.
And he writes Bill multiple letters, and before they know it, the investigators get a call from the FBI saying they want to help with the investigation, which I was shocked. I was thinking, is Bill Clinton actually reading his own mail?
Like,
I know he had hobbies. I know he was busy with other things.
But were they friends? My thought was, did he work on like a cousin of the Clintons' garage? Was there an inn? I felt like something, there was an inn there somehow.
I don't think there was an inn. I think it was, I am a citizen. My fiance is white and missing. So you're going to care.
I still feel like the president wouldn't care, but I maybe
no,
I'm
I
delusional.
Really don't feel like the president would care. I've found this very shocking.
Well, and he's not opening this. So who in the office took the interest? I would like to speak to whomever in the White House is opening mail. And
I think there's like someone that's their job and they have to open everything probably with gloves and a mask on.
Yeah, probably.
So then out of the blue, the deep, dark blue of the waters came a clue. The U.S. Customs patrol the waters off of Miami Beach for...
drugs.
Get ready.
Drugs.
Or as Dennis says, cocaine cowboys and their go-fast boats.
Had you heard that before? I'd heard cocaine cowboy.
Like a cocaine cowboy.
Exactly.
And their go-fast boats.
And their go-fast boats.
Is that like a brand? Go-fast?
The emphasis was on go. Go-fast boats.
Yeah, on their go-fast boats.
That is a Dennisism or it's a colloquialism. I've never heard
it. It has to be because people are going to write to us and say, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you haven't heard of go fast boats, ladies.
My dad calls them go fast boats. My so-and-so calls them go fast boats.
Well, we haven't heard that, okay?
We've never heard it. They don't call them that where we're from. They're literally just called boats.
They're just called boats here.
Or speedboats, maybe. But I would not know the difference between a boat and a speedboat. I might.
You would, by how fast it was going.
Yeah, there you go. If it was moving, but if I was just looking at boats on the
water.
It's
not like a Duffy boat.
It's not a rowboat.
It's not a rowboat. It's not a kayak.
It's not a houseboat.
Right.
It's not a yacht. It's a thing with an engine and a go fast.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
So in 1994, there was lots of drug smuggling going on.
No kidding.
So that's basically every night they go out and they patrol these waters for drug smugglers.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a fun job, but could also probably be extremely dangerous.
Really dangerous.
Yeah. So also, Dexter's out there, like, throwing bodies in there. Who knows?
Is that where he lives? In Miami?
Yeah, I think so. So Tim Stellhorn and his team are out on the boat the night that Lynn went missing. They're looking for smugglers. You know smugglers are super smug.
Why did you try to shorten it like adorbs? They're looking for smugs.
Smugsies.
Smugs with the drugs. Got it.
That's the smudgeness. That's your smudgeness.
And there's your smudgeness.
Uh-huh. So they go out. They turn off the engine. I was fascinated by this. So they go out. They turn off the engine so they can be really quiet, like a shark in the water.
Stealth go fast boat.
Stealth smug.
Go fast boat.
Go fast boat. So they turn off their engine and their lights, and Tim hears a nearby boat. So he looks through his night vision goggles.
There we go. They got all the tech. They got all the technologies.
The amount of times I have thought we would have had night vision goggles on Dateline episodes compared to the amount of times we've actually had night vision goggles is shockingly
different. It's the amount of times we're told about night vision goggles. Maybe they're used much more.
That's possible, I guess.
I'm not sure.
So Tim has his night vision goggles out, and he sees two people on board this boat. They're wearing dark clothing, goggles, bandanas over their faces. They're not looking sus at all. These are sus, smugglers.
These are criminals, period.
Bad news.
Yeah.
So unless they were like goggles, you know. For swimming, Speedo goggles.
Oh, yeah. Or like steampunk goggles. I do say, sir. Our boat seems to have lost its rudder. We're trying to meet Jules Verne for a party. Sorry. So steampunk goggles, swimming goggles. No, they're just in bandanas.
Bandanas and goggles and dark clothing. Bandanas covering their faces. It's very
weird.
Not good. No.
Okay, yeah.
So they follow them in their boat. Secretly, they're tailing them in a boat, but one of the guys spots him. So Tim says to his coworker, light him up.
Dennis
with a spotlight.
Loved it. Dennis loved it.
Dennis was here for. I loved it, especially because I thought he was sick, and I thought he meant like with guns or something. He was like, light him up. And then it was .. with a spotlight.
I just feel like if they hadn't said it, Dennis would have said. And then what'd you say? You said, light him up, boys. I mean, Dennis was right there in it with this story. You know he was. You know that this is Dennis's bread and butter.
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
So Tim sees the passenger roll a large duffel bag off the boat. So they think they're smuggin'. That's what happening. That is smuggin' right now, in that there's drugs in them, their bag.
Yes, there is.
And that's going underwater. They turn on their boat alarm and they give chase. And the boat stops and they eventually put their hands up. They give up, but they're not talking.
They didn't tell us how long the chase was for. I was curious. Was it like they tried for 5 minutes or they tried for a half
an hour?
Was
this one of those slow-moving freeway chases like with OJ?
Yeah, I just had some. I would like to know a little more detail. But
everyone is bored and peeing in Gatorade bottles. And they're like, can we just end this chase now?
Please stop. Please stop rolling.
So they don't find drugs on board. And the bag is somewhere in the deep blue sea. So they let the men go, but they seize the boat. And Tim doesn't think much of it. But then a week later, Tim is reading the paper and he hears about Lynn Friend. And he remembers, Friend, that's an interesting name. One of the guys on the boat that I pulled over was Clifford Friend and his mullet. So, and the owner of the boat, Alan Gold, who is a friend of Clifford. So there's three people on the boat, Alan, Clifford, and the mullet. Tim calls the investigator listed in the article about Lynn, and the guy doesn't believe him. But finally, he's like, no, I swear. So now investigators and the media are fully looking at Clifford. What were you doing out on that boat, dude?
Yeah.
So the media is following him like paparazzi.
Also, where was your son? Where was your son while you're out on the boat with Alan Gold smuggling?
We'll find out later.
But why aren't they telling us now? Because it's the first question I had was like, I thought you were babysitting Christian. So is Christian just wandering the streets of Miami? Where's your son?
Yeah.
Under the deck? I was scared. I didn't like it.
So the media is following around Clifford, say, is there anything you want to say? And he just says, no. And I wanted them to go, why are you pairing that visor with that haircut and the mirrored sunglasses? Why are you leaning into the 90s so much? How is that Diet Coke you're drinking in the 90s style can?
He's literally a drug smuggler in Miami in the 90s. What do you expect him to be? That's exactly correct.
I expect some gold chains. I did not expect a visor.
Oh, I did. Oh, visors in Miami? Yes, the sun is brutal.
I know, and the mirrored shades. But he looks like an LA Gear commercial.
You bet. You bet.
LA Gear. And he's carrying this Coke can that's that like different design that it looks very 90s.
I love it.
I would really like to finally talk about Clifford's hair because I've alluded to it several times.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I finally understood what it was. The shape of it. It's totally bald on top.
Yeah.
So he has the appearance of having quite a large forehead and it is all bald on top. But then the sides are huge, full of volume, frizz. Power mullet.
It's Miami. It's humid.
So what I realized, if this was bright red instead of blonde.
Oh, my.
Pennywise.
I haven't seen the latest It movie still, so I can only do Tim Curry. But I'm not even going to try the voice. Never mind. It's going to be a bad impersonation.
It's going to scare me.
I don't want it on the record.
It scares me.
It is absolutely Pennywise. You're right.
Thank you.
Good call.
I don't even need to do a side-by-side in social media. No. still might. But I do admire his volume. I thought his frizz could use a little taming. I wonder if he has had a lot of stress in his life that's caused all that hair to fall out.
Well, fall out specifically in a certain area. And we do know that stress can totally wreak havoc on what once was a good head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
For many of us, stress is just a regular feature of daily life. If you're smuggling drugs in Miami, times that by 100.
Mm-hmm.
And stress can trigger physical reactions like dramatically increased hair shedding and thinning. And what's wild is that people usually lose about 50% of their total hair before they ever even notice an increase in shedding.
Mind blowing.
It's mind-blowing. Also, my cats shed quite a bit, and my hair is sometimes the same color as my cat's hair. So basically, there's just white hair everywhere. Also, my favorite color of clothing to wear is black. So my search for the perfect lint roller is on, but at least now for humans, there is a way to stop stress-related hair loss in its tracks and spark new, stronger growth. And that's with Prose. Prose specializes in custom hair care, and now they make custom hair supplements that help reduce excess shedding and spark fuller, thicker hair growth with just 2 capsules a day. Through an online consultation, Prose customizes your supplements to address all the factors that could be triggering your hair issues, like age, hormonal changes, boat racing,
go fast boats,
stress levels, diet, and more. Prose supplements use only natural, clean, and safe ingredients, not drugs or hormone disruptors. All formulas are toxicologist approved, gluten-free, and vegan. And they really, really work. I've seen great results from my Prose supplements. And multiple studies show that over 90% of women taking Prose hair supplements saw less shedding, more growth, and improved overall appearance in just 90 days. 90% of women saw benefits in 90 days. Those are pretty good odds. So go to Prose.com and try your own custom hair supplements. Right now, you'll get 15% off at Prose.com/date-dateline. That's Prose.com/date-dateline for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off custom hair supplements. Strike Prose.
Prose.
Thank you so much, Prose.
Thank you, Prose. And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Do you sometimes feel like your brain is stuck on a go-fast boat and the feds are chasing it? You only get one brain, and if yours is as special as Joni says mine is, you should take care of it with therapy. I don't always want to do therapy because sometimes those feelings are so much more comfortable being stuffed way down to the bottom of the ocean with anchors weighing them down. But much like a dateline filled with secrets, feelings are going to come up to the surface one way or another. It's much safer if they come out in therapy. And after my weekly therapy sessions, I feel just so much better, so much lighter, like I'm floating on top of the water. The best part about BetterHelp is that it's online therapy. It's whatever works for you. Video, phone, live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't even have to show your face if you're a cocaine cowboy and it's made you paranoid. Best thing is it's more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours, which is unheard of in the traditional therapy world. It usually takes weeks or months to get an appointment. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/dateline. That's betterhelp.com/dateline. Because all of our brains can use a little
better
help. Help! I need somebody!
Thanks, BetterHelp.
So Ed tells the cops that the night she disappeared, Lynn told him, I'm going to Clifford's house for a child support payment that he owes me. So that officially makes Clifford the last person to have seen her alive.
That's not good.
They search his car and his house, but they don't find anything. His girlfriend says, I didn't even think for a second he had anything to do with it.
Okay.
Janet. Investigators ask the U.S. Navy for help searching the waters for a duffel bag. So now, first it was like the feds and the U.S. patrol.
Is the Miami Police Department just need money?
I don't know. They're getting help from all of the federal agencies.
I'm not sure what's going on.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So the U.S. Navy says they'll help, but we don't come for free. Like, the feds will do this for free because Bill Clinton read a letter, but we need money. So we can help you search the waters for this duffel bag, but it'll cost $48,000.
For three days,
and you guys have to pay for it.
$48,000.
Yeah.
I just want to stop on that for a second. I was shocked by that number. $48,000.
No, I really wasn't, because this is a big, huge Navy boat with sonar equipment.
It feels overpriced, but okay. It was that big boat we saw in the B-roll?
Yeah, I think so. It's like Navy men are coming, seamen are coming out doing some dancing high kick routine. That's what I think of when I see like old fashioned.
That's true. I know. Or like Betty Grable's out there doing a show, Bob Hope. Yeah. But I feel, okay, I guess, because my thought would be it would be $10,000 a day and that's 30 grand. So it's just a little more than that. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Ouch.
Okay. So the police somehow get this money together and they go out there. I don't know.
I would like the details of how this all worked. Where'd they pull the money from?
I don't know. Miami, imagine the amount of cocaine that is what's the word? Confiscated from all these cocaine cowboys.
Are you saying that the Miami cops sold cocaine
in evidence room and take a little bag and sell it on the street? That's your money.
Wow. These are big allegations you're making.
They did it for Lynn. They did it for Lynn. I would do it for Lynn. She seemed great.
She did seem great. I'm not besmirching Lynn. It just is shocking that in 2 months they've somehow found $48,000 in the budget. Maybe he did.
Very attached to this story and he put up the money.
Maybe I was not wrong that there is a connection between, see, now I want to call him Dan, Ed and Bill Clinton. And he was his landscaper.
No, I think it's like a landscaper cousin. It was like a.
Yeah.
That's usually what's connection. It's like my pool guy is second cousins with the neighbor that grew up with Bill Clinton's mom.
Wait.
In Arkansas.
Wait. More than likely, they went to the same college or they were in the same fraternity. And so he's like fraternity to fraternity, you know, Sigma, Delta, whatever, right. Omega, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe brothers for life.
He was a National Rhodes Scholar and Bill Clinton is a National Rhodes Scholar. So he's like one roadie to another. Maybe they call each other roadies. I don't know. I doubt it. But maybe they do. Oh. So they get the money. They do this sonar search, but they can't find the duffel or the body. They say it's like beyond a needle in a haystack. It's a duffel in the Atlantic Ocean.
And they can't see it with this. There's so many duffels. Like, why couldn't they see it?
All those bodies. I mean, if this was like the Hudson River in New York, like, there's so many bodies there.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't find any bodies.
Like, I'm surprised. That's a great point. Yeah. Why did they not find more bodies?
Yeah.
It's like when they find no fingerprints on something.
Right.
That is more suspicious than if they had found the owner's fingerprints.
Because it's either someone was wearing gloves and it was something purposeful and premeditated, or it was Kevin Spacey in Seven.
Exactly.
It's one of the two.
Exactly. So the money runs out, but Ed steps up. He writes a check to the Navy for one extra day for $13,000. So maybe he is a roadie or in the Illuminati.
He's a really good guy.
He is.
Is what he is. It took me a minute in this episode because normally I can figure it out in the first few minutes. But I was like, is it Ed? I was like, it can't be Ed. It can't be. And then I was surprised. I was like, it can't be Clifford. I was really confused. And then, this sealed the deal for Ed. It wasn't Ed.
No, not Ed. Yeah. So they do find something on this last day, but it turns out to just be a plastic garbage bag. And Dennis is so curious. What was in the bag?
I wanted to know, too, because I also, like Dennis, assumed it was a body or body parts or cocaine.
It was beer cans. Which got me all mad because don't pollute our oceans.
Oh, yeah. I knew you were going to get mad.
Come on, people.
Yeah.
Step it up.
Yep.
Don't release those balloon things and
any balloons in this episode. Just go with what we have. No beer cans in the ocean. Throw your trash somewhere else. Also, a giant trash bag filled with beer cans. So you're literally on your boat. No,
I think it was more of a – I was picturing more like of a – 7-Eleven size.
No, they said a black trash bag. It was a big black landscaping trash bag filled with beer cans. So somebody was partying on either their Go Fast boat or on their yacht and just dropped it over the side of the boat. They should be arrested.
Yeah, that's sick. That's sickening.
That's messed up.
So they have nothing now, but they do realize it wasn't Ed, and not just because he put up the money. He was in Tennessee at the time, and phone records back that up. So Then we meet State Attorney Catherine Fernandez Rundle, and she is determined to not let this be a cold case. And Dennis interrupts her and is like, but you don't even know if she's dead. She could have more metaphorically taken the midnight train to Georgia. He's like very amped at this moment. And Catherine is quite taken aback for a moment. She just kind of stares at him for a moment. And then she says, that's true. We didn't have a body, so we were not. We couldn't prove necessarily that she was dead.
She was not expecting this kind of an interview.
No, she wasn't expecting midnight train to Georgia. She can't tell if he's making a joke or if he's just being folksy because he's very folksy.
She wasn't prepared for the folksiness.
He also wasn't like totally controlling the volume of his voice, I feel like, at that moment. So it's like a little bit louder than it needed to be, but in the best Dennis is enough way. So yes. She just wasn't prepared.
No.
Turns out Clifford has an alibi, kind of.
Was he with his son? Because that's right. Still all I would like to know. But
they call it an alibi. It's not really an alibi. It's just like an alternative.
Schmalibi.
Yeah. So police, he has a reason why he was on that boat, basically, which is not the same as an alibi.
No.
It is just a made up excuse why he was on that boat.
Yeah.
So police put together a Crime Stopper reenactment video for the news. And it shows two men dumping a bag and evading the police. Not sure at all why this video was necessary.
Because nobody was out there at night, right, to be able to see this. I don't know what
they're like, this is what it would have looked like if you were out there and you saw these two guys. It's like, we know no one saw it, but this is what you missed out on while you were sleeping. This guy and his friend dumped a bag over a boat. All you have to do is say that. We can picture it in our minds. It's a boat and two guys drop a bag over the edge. Why did they need to film a reenactment?
I really don't know either. I was trying to figure that out as well.
It's grabby. Maybe Crime Stoppers is very grabby like that, like with reenactments, and it makes people pay attention more.
That could be it. They need to make it a little bit like more like an America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, theatricality.
There you go.
Yeah. It doesn't work, though. No tips come in. Police find out Clifford, shockingly, has a history of drug smuggling.
My God, I was shocked.
I was like, I thought he was just like a normal dad in Florida. I misjudged this whole situation. I mean, I never thought he was great news, but like, I did not expect that.
I didn't either. This whole episode kept surprising me. I was really surprised.
He just looks like a normal dad who just is going off to work.
No, he's wearing a visor and mirrored shades, and he's got kind of a crazy mullet.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
he was a model for LA Gear.
I thought maybe he was in a cover band. That's kind of what he looks like.
I could see that.
Yeah.
So, shockingly, he has a history of drug smuggling. His hair is, his Pennywise hair is filled with secrets.
There we go.
So, his attorney says he has a reason why he was on that boat that night. He was running drugs. That's what was in the bag.
My God.
And so Dennis says, so you're saying he was dirty.
Dennis.
I love his 1940s gumshoe lingo.
Listen, cop, if you don't say it, Dennis is going to.
Yeah, so, copper.
Yeah.
So the attorney says, yeah, it's not great. It's definitely, I'm not saying it's great, but he had a reason for being out on that boat.
Yeah.
And he also owned a pawn shop, which they imply that shady stuff was going on there as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. At a pawn shop? Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to besmirch. I'm sure there are good pawn shops, but I don't think Clifford's was one of them.
No, I don't think so either.
So when Lynn disappeared, though, apparently it was the impetus for him to want to turn his life around all of a sudden. Not divorcing her, not meeting Janet, not losing custody of his son. But it was when Lynn disappeared, he realized, I now have Janet, I have to take care of Christian because Lynn is missing. I now want to turn my life around. So he marries Janet.
Yeah.
And we see footage of the video and Alan Gold with a waist length braid, also filled with secrets.
Yes.
Is at the wedding.
I'm sorry. Also, I don't think Janet knew about the drug running. She seems no nonsense. I don't think she knew.
Yeah, I could see that. But she does seem a little wool over her eyes at this whole thing. I mean, she still married him after she learned about the drug running.
I don't know if she ever found out.
Well, that was his alibi. So I think
Maybe he just didn't tell her. Maybe he never told her any conversations about the police, or he lied to her. We don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Janet said the police were coming around at the beginning, but after a couple years, they stopped coming around. They focused on raising Christian. And she says that she would talk to him about Lynn and had photos of Lynn up in his room. But he did call her mom. And she said that Clifford was an amazing dad to him.
Operative word being was. She says was during this. And I was like, oh, you're giving away the game a little bit.
Ed also moved on, which I was shocked by. I kind of thought he was going to pine forever. He married someone new. So everyone moves on.
I'm glad he moved on.
I'm happy for him. But I'm absolutely sad. Yeah. He deserves to move on. So years have gone by. These two state attorneys take on the case, though, because they don't want to let it go. So they know they don't have a body or physical evidence. But there's something in the files that they find out that had never really panned out the first time around. There's a friend of Clifford's. His name is Missy, well, that's his last name, but they keep calling him Missy, and it's a very much like, are you lying to us, Missy?
Yeah,
like,
it totally is.
Like how my parents would
clean
talk to
your
me
room, too. Missy.
Yeah, exactly.
Missy, you need to get in there and make your bed right now. I'm counting to 10. One.
So he was at an IHOP, which I got so excited, moons over my hammy, and was totally wrong, before Lynn went missing. And he was with Clifford, and they're talking, and Clifford says, she's never leaving this state with my child. She's going on a boat ride and not coming back.
I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it when they said that custody had been worked out and it was all fine and she'd given him everything he wanted. I was like, no, it didn't.
Nope. Also, what the heck, Clifford? You're taking your one friend out on the boat to dump a body and you're telling your other friend. Are you just telling everyone you know? You got to feel out the situation first before you just fully give away your plan.
I think he's just kind of friends with a bunch of crooks and they don't snitch. But
so Missy is a convicted felon and he's on probation.
No kidding.
You a convicted felon, Missy? You're going to go back to jail, Missy, if you don't wear this wire. So they say you better wear this wire. He meets up with Clifford again at IHOP.
There we go.
Wearing the wire. And Clifford says, I'm worried about our last meeting at IHOP, which it's now been like years, I think. Or maybe this happened right after, and we're just hearing about it in the second investigation. He's like, you didn't tell anyone about that, right? And Missy says, no, I didn't talk to anyone. I never talked to anyone, never. Nope, I'm not a snitch. Very defensively.
But it was Clifford who brought it up, not Missy, right?
Right. But the first time Clifford said, this is what I'm going to do. And then after, you know, she disappears, Clifford's like, I need to tie up loose ends. I told Missy what my plan was.
Years later, you need to do that?
Well, I see, that's why I think this happened right after. And there, we're just hearing
we're
about
getting
it.
A
and
weird.
It was part of the original investigation, maybe.
But they didn't, they couldn't use that to indict.
Right.
For some reason.
So, okay. Originally. So he says, no, I didn't tell anybody. But the investigators know, well, now we know this conversation actually happened. Because Clifford brought it up out of nowhere. Clifford is definitely paranoid about something. This conversation happened. So Missy turns out to be a hapless, technologically challenged informant.
Wow.
So is Missy Joni? What's happening? So they meet again at the IHOP. And they have IHOP is getting so much business
so
off of
much
this
business.
One crime. He has to wear a wire again. And he doesn't want Cliff to see the wire. Clifford, apologies. So he puts the wire or the recording device in his baby's diaper.
Why is your baby with you?
Why is your baby with
you? Why do you have a baby?
Why?
A lot of questions here.
So the baby is crying the whole time on the recording. Oh, and it turns out it's because the recording devices get kind of hot.
Oh, my God.
Father of the year.
Wow.
Burning his child. The investigators are just horrified. They have put their case in the hands of this man. Also, what did you think was going to happen? Like, with a diaper, what if she peed or pooped on the recording device?
I don't think he really wanted to do it. This feels like a way to do it, but not do it. Help the police, but not really. Kind of.
Aren't you
going to
hear just like rustling diaper noises?
Yeah, he's just not smart. He's just not
farting
smart.
Baby fart noises?
Yeah, it's going to be gross. It's going to be unpleasant, for sure.
So Missy is called out on a lie on something else. Shocker. Wow. Missy is not reliable.
Really unreliable.
So they drop him, but they're still going to use his story. They're just not going to put him on the stand when they go to the grand jury to try to get charges brought.
Good call.
So they use his story. It's been 18 years since Lynn disappeared, and it works. They charge Clifford with murder.
So the grand jury went for this without a body, without anything. I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
They seem to have very little. We've seen police wait for years and years and years to get evidence. This is shockingly little. Yeah.
His lawyer thinks the same thing. How can they base their case around Missy, who is a convicted felon and a liar and a thief and a cheese?
And a cheese.
And also broke the black box after the plane crash. Because that's what I think of when I think of Missy.
Oh, that's right, Missy.
Who knows what I'm talking about?
I was so mad.
If you don't, you're not taking our viewing recommendations very seriously.
I really wish we had watched Yellow Jackets together because I would have loved your reaction for that.
Yeah.
Because Oliver immediately starts spouting off theories when that happened.
But I hope you paused. I don't allow talking during TV. You know that.
I had already seen it.
Okay. But then he's going to miss stuff and that'll drive me crazy.
Oh, I know. That's why I didn't say you should watch it with Oliver. So you should watch it with me because I know the rules.
We did do a very fun chat with Aaron and Mary Payne from Pink Shade on our Patreon about Yellow Jackets. I highly recommend listening to that.
Is it coming back soon?
No. They still haven't even, I think they're filming like now or something.
Great. Great.
So the defense is thinking, how can they base their whole case around Missy? Missy's horrible. But they don't know that Missy is a straw man, meaning that Missy, in case anyone doesn't know the definition.
Yeah, thank you.
I believe they are using the second definition. This is not like when you get into a political argument on Twitter, which is me every day, and then someone's like, that's a straw man argument. They don't say it to me because I don't use straw man arguments. But to other people.
I was going to say.
They use straw man arguments. But the second definition would be a person regarded as having no substance or integrity. So he is like a decoy. He's a red herring.
There we go.
So they want the defense to spend all of their time looking up why Missy is a terrible witness, literally spending all of their hours of research to disprove anything Missy
says.
For
someone that's not even going to be.
But they're not even putting Missy on the stand.
Sneaky.
They have a better witness that the defense is not going to be spending any time on. So very tricky. So now Clifford goes to trial and Dennis says he is looking more jowly banker than murderer.
And by jowly banker, he means he is the spitting image of Roosevelt and Annie. Literally, he's a spitting image of FDR in Annie.
Does this finally convince you what I've been saying, which is that it's okay to body shame killers?
No. I'm not body
shaming
him.
But Dennis does it.
What I'm saying is, Dennis does it. So that's what Dennis said. We don't have to add to it. But what I will say is he doesn't look like the same person at all. I think this is a different man.
It might be a different man.
I think he's putting it in. You're putting an innocent man in prison because it's not actually the same man. Who is this man? Did he look anything like him?
No, but I do have a question. What if I look in the mirror and I see Jowly Banker? Is there anything that I can do for this?
Like a doctor recommendation?
Yeah, skin.
Jowly is rough. Well, I don't know if there's anything you can do about Jowly, but I do know what to do if you're having a bad skin day.
Okay, that'll do.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely help with that. But the most frustrating thing when you're struggling with your skin is going to the store and being completely overwhelmed by the amount of options there are. And I'm not just talking about skincare products. I'm talking about there's a million options for everything. Cat litter, soda, toilet paper. There's a billion options, but the skincare aisle is a madness all its own. It's just product after product, and you just want something that actually works. And finding what actually works for you, it can be a complicated and kind of expensive process because you're just trying thing after thing, hoping that something is going to clear up your skin. This is why we're so excited to partner with Apostrophe for this episode. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. All you need to do is fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and your medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a board-certified dermatologist will create your first customized treatment plan. Apostrophe offers access to treatments for all kinds of acne, from hormonal acne, facial acne, even back, chest, and butt acne. They treat breakouts from head to tush.
Mm-hmm.
My skin has been improving thanks to my new topical cream from Apostrophe, and I love knowing that every time I tell them what my skin problem is, they listen and adjust accordingly. It's really great. Also, the ease of doing this online has been life-changing for me. It was such a pain to try to make in-person, in-office dermatology appointments. You have to go and wait in the waiting room, wait for someone to get to know you. This is such an easier process for people that just want the ease of doing it on their phone, which is what I've done for years. It's great. And Apostrophe really cares, and they check in on you. It's a really cool process. If you haven't checked out Apostrophe yet, now is the time, because we have a special deal for you. So there's no excuse. If you're frustrated with your skin, go to apostrophe.com. You can get your first visit for only $5. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/datedateline, click begin visit, then use our code DATEDATELINE at sign up to get your first visit for only $5. That's a saving of $15. Apostrophe.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE at sign up. Thank you so much, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode and for putting a period at the end of my skin troubles.
Woohoo! They liked that tagline so much, they posted it on Instagram.
That made me feel so good. Thank you. See, look, it's like doing a favor. I gave them that tagline, and they gave me good skin.
You gave them that tagline?
Kimberly gave them that tagline, and I gave them, and they gave me good skin. It's a three-way relationship. Thank you so much, Apostrophe.
It's a wolf pack.
It is.
I bet you guys didn't expect me to be talking about Thrive. I had to take it over from Katie because I have been thriving lately and I just needed to check. I just had to talk about it. Thrive Cosmetics, their products contain no parabens, sulfates, or phthalates. I totally know what all of those things are.
Yeah, they're bad. Don't want them.
But what's good is that Thrive Cosmetics are 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And that is really hard to find because a lot of companies secretly test on animals.
Correct.
They're super shady. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find. Now, my whole family is obsessed with the Liquid Lash Extensions mascara, except Bob, but Bob will probably be on it too because we can't stop talking about it. My mom steals mine. My new sister-in-law wore it for her wedding to my brother because she wanted to look like she was wearing lash extensions, but not the kind that influencers wear where it looks like it hurts to blink because they're so heavy.
And also, if you're not used to it,
yeah, you want to look like yourself, but better.
Yeah.
And they were such a hit. Her eyelashes looked amazing.
Gorgeous.
I know. It's so good. This mascara has more than 20,000 five-star reviews, which is only 20 times the amount of five-star reviews that we have. Also, I hate clumping. I've probably said it before. I hate it in my oatmeal. I hate it in my mascara.
You don't want clumping and you don't want smugging. Is it smuggling?
Yeah, I hate smudgeness and I hate
smudgeness and clumping.
Clumping. No. This mascara doesn't clump. It's amazing. And I also want to talk about the 3-in-1 invisible priming sunscreen. I use it every day. It's SPF 37. It can go under makeup and it extends the wear of makeup up to 16 hours with this like blurred velvet matte finish. Or you can be lazy like me and just use it plain. And I love it because it is clear. It is not greasy. You don't have white streaks all over your face. You're not looking like you dipped your face in oil. Or yeah. Like margarine all day.
It feels like a very modern way to wear sunscreen. I love it.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. It's modern.
Yeah.
We love Thrive's Bigger Than Beauty mission. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetic donates to over 300 giving partners and numerous causes to help communities thrive. So now is a perfect time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/datedateline. That's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E-M-E-T-I-C-S supercast.com/date/dateline for 15% off your order.
Woo! Thank you, Thrive.
Thank you, Thrive, for helping us thrive.
Seriously.
So the trial is there. Clifford has Janet still supporting him. He has his son Christian still supporting him, who is now all grown up and fully thinks his dad is innocent.
Yeah.
Ed takes the stand, Lynn's ex-fiance.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, my gosh.
It's really sad.
It's a lot.
He's already been married to someone else for 20 years, but he's still heartbroken. And he says, I was on the phone with Lynn. Her call waiting beeped. And she said, Clifford wants me to come over and get some money he owes me. Mm-hmm. And he starts crying on the stand. It's
precious moment. This was the precious moment of the episode, because they ask him if he wants to take a break. And he says, no, I'd actually just like to get this over with. You can tell this just pains him to talk about this future they were about to have. The thing that stinks is he was probably pretty bonded to Christian at this point. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden this child is out of his life.
Yeah.
That he was supposed to be his dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, oh, it's brutal, but it's so sweet.
Lynn's divorce attorney takes the stand from back then and says 1 week before she disappeared, they had the hearing where the judge gave her permission to take Christian to Tennessee. And Clifford went berserk in the courtroom, screaming, no one will take my son away.
Why did they tell us that this was an amicable custody arrangement at the beginning of the episode, Kimberly?
They got to trick us, Katie, so we don't figure out.
Well, they did, because I didn't know. It worked. Good job, Dennis.
So the big get, though, the big witness is Alan Gold.
Oh, my. And this is the point where I'm like, how have we not done this episode? Alan Gold is gold.
The most memorable, one of the most memorable people we've ever seen take the stand. He is so bitter and contentious and does not want to be there.
And also has a Staten Island accent somehow.
Yeah, he's such a drama.
Over the top.
Over the top.
Might as well have put his feet up. Might as well have leaned back in the chair and put his like cowboy boot, crocodile boots up with spurs. He has a Stetson hat sitting on the thing.
He walks in with a Stetson. Thing. He's limping with bravado, Dennis says.
I can't even.
And he's wearing an American flag pin on his lapel. Like he's running for mayor or something.
He probably is. He's probably running for some sort of, he's a character out of a book.
Yeah. So they got him to testify by offering him immunity. So because he was maybe involved in the dumping of a body.
Allegedly.
And if he doesn't testify, the judge will order him to, and they'll force him to sit in jail until the trial's over. And so Alan chooses the door marked cooperation. I love that his name is Alan, too. He does not look like an Alan at all.
Oh, no, he's gold. I'm just calling him Gold. Mr. Gold.
Yeah. So he walks in with his Stetson.
Oh, no, but I'm sorry. He's also an Al.
Oh, yeah, Al.
He's
Al
definitely
for sure.
Al.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he testifies that he went to Clifford's house that night and Clifford had dropped Christian off at a babysitter. So that's where Christian was that night.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Al. He sees the duffel bag and Clifford tells him, Lynn is in there. We argued and I knocked her out. I knocked her down and I choked her out. And they say, what did you take that to mean? And Al on the stand says, she was in the bag. She wasn't coming back. And that was the end of Lynn.
Were Al and Clifford
this
doing a lot of cocaine?
They
were doing a lot of cocaine during this time period, allegedly,
Al
right?
is a cocaine cowboy with the Stetson.
And Clifford had admitted to smudging drugs around. Mm-hmm. So do we think?
I feel like Al was the cool friend and Clifford really wanted to be the cool friend.
No, allegedly, I feel like Al was maybe the criminal, was the one with the connections, and I got my guy in Mexico, or you know what I'm saying? I feel like Al is the money or something. So
I know,
Al
but
is something.
Clifford is the known drug smuggler.
Al was
and the
never
pawn
arrested.
Shop runner.
I'm looking it up. All
right. What are you looking at?
Alan Gold to see if he was arrested. Alan Gold net worth. I don't know who that is. No. Innovative Industrial Properties. I think there's probably a lot of Alan Golds.
Yeah. And most of them are my people, so...
I know it is. I'm sorry.
They're not cocaine cowboys.
Do you think this one might be?
Yes.
Okay.
So...
Yeah.
Alan has a boat. He's a boat guy. So Alan has a boat, and Cliff wants to dump her in deep water. Mm-hmm. And they say to Alan, well, so when you heard that, did you run out the door? And he said, no. I decided to help him because I didn't want to see the kid fatherless, and I figured it was the lesser of the evil.
Why is he talking like he's in a movie? He
sounds like he is a godfather, and
he's laying it on so thick.
So thick. He's such a, I think he's a wannabe. Also, the expression is not the lesser of the evil. There are two evils, and then one is the lesser.
It's if you're from Staten Island. I figured it was the lesser of the evil. He's talking like that. He's talking like he's in Bugsy Malone.
Yeah. He says, it was a tragic accident. Why make it worse? Okay, it wasn't an accident. He just admitted he killed her.
It's not an accident.
That's not an accident. So they dump her car somewhere. They pick up the bag, and it was heavy. And Clifford says it's weighted. That's why it's heavy. And then they get it on the boat.
It also has a body in it. It's also heavy.
But she was small. And then on the boat, Clifford takes the anchor and puts it in the bag also to really make it go down. And investigators had noted the anchor was missing.
This is a giant duffel bag.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So Alan says, when we were on the boat, we realized the feds were behind him. We dumped the bag. He says, I nearly peed my pants. And I told them a towel blew overboard when they asked. And they said, so you lied. And he says, oh, yeah, I don't really want to tell anyone that I just got done dumping a body in the Atlantic. And they said,
Al, stop it.
Why did you stop covering for your friend now? And he says, well, you told me if I didn't, you would put me in jail. So you're not here out of the goodness of your heart.
That's who he's talking like. Prison Mike.
Prison. He's talking like prison.
Because at that point, I expected him to say the clink. And he didn't say, you said if it wasn't, you were going to cuff me and throw me in the clink.
And the gruel there. The gruel is the worst and the dementors.
Is he or is he not talking like Prison Mike?
He 100% is talking like Prison Mike.
He's playing Prison Mike. It's Al Gold as Prison Mike on the stand in Clifford's trial.
Yeah. So he's like, you told me if you didn't, you would put me in the clink. So you're not here out of the goodness of your heart. No, I made a commitment to the guy 20 years ago. I didn't see any reason to break it.
And no, Your Honor.
You broke it now. And he says, only because you put me in a box and I didn't have a choice. And so the lawyer is telling Dennis, listen, he's a character. He's despicable, but he's also believable.
He is 100% despicable. He is a despicable. Al, I don't know if you are in real life, but on the stand right now, this is despicable.
And now we move away from Al for a bit, but we're going to come back.
We're going to come back.
Stay tuned because we're coming back.
Hold on,
moving on to a jailhouse snitch named Andres Garcia Flores. So he says that one night in jail, he and Clifford were watching a Spanish soap opera called El Capo.
Because I can definitely see Clifford being into Spanish soap operas. Continue.
So the plot is about a drug dealer who throws his wife overboard. And we're seeing the clips from the soap opera and it looks amazing. I need to watch it. And should we start covering telenovelas?
Can I get that sparkly dress somewhere? Did you see how sparkly that silver dress was?
It was gorgeous. It had a very low back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was super sparkly.
Yeah. I think we should cover telenovelas just once for the podcast.
I think we should.
Clifford says apparently they're watching this and the drug dealer, Kingpin, whatever, throws his wife overboard. And Clifford says, wow, reminds me of what I did. Deja vu. So this is what the snitch is saying that Clifford said in jail.
FDR was not sitting with you watching El Chapo or El Capo and then commenting just out of nowhere, out of the blue. Wow, that was exactly how I committed the crime I'm in here on trial for. That didn't happen.
Well, Clifford, to be fair, did tell Missy about it at an IHOP.
When they were both on cocaine, allegedly. This is ridiculous.
So the defense has done their homework this time. They're not going to be fooled by any straw man argument.
No.
So they're like, we won't be fooled again. The defense is saying to Andres, so you're sure that that happened? You were sitting next to Clifford and he said that. And he's like, yeah. Guess who has solved this case, though? Janet.
Janet.
Janet hears this story. She pulls her phone records and she and Clifford were on the phone when that show was airing.
So Janet has a right to be defensive because I would be so very irritated.
Yeah. So after this whoopsie moment, the judge is so mad at the prosecution.
The judge might be the MVP.
Yeah. She has her pearls. She's given RBG energy. And
multi-strand pearls.
Yeah. And she's pissed. And she says, seriously, you put a snitch on the stand and you didn't check his credibility? I don't want a response to that. She cuts him off.
So she
holds up her hand in the talk to the hand gesture.
Oh my God, I want to be a judge so bad.
So good. So good. So the prosecutor tells Dennis, I made a mistake.
He literally goes, whoops.
Whoops. Wah, wah. What can you do? I should have known. I did say to my co-counsel, it seems too good to be true. And she said it probably is. And I shouldn't have put him on the stand because it seemed too good to be true.
You didn't need him. You also didn't really need him. It's ridiculous.
Dennis is very nice to him, though. Dennis doesn't make him feel dumb. So
no, Dennis is nice. But Dennis, under his breath, is thinking, amateurs.
Amateur.
Yeah.
Dennis rookie is, mistake.
Yeah.
So the judge tells the jurors to discount the snitch's testimony.
Really quick. Sorry. I'm also surprised we didn't get a line from Dennis right now. Like, oh, so the cat couldn't go back in the bag. Or I thought, do you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't you imagine the dentist would say, yeah, you blew.
You know, a train can't go uphill on a rainy night.
You blew the smoke, but you couldn't put out the fire. Something, you know what I'm saying? I wanted some sort of a...
You know, your favorite color is red, but everyone's seeing yellow.
We could come up with fake Dennis colloquial.
We totally could.
That would be good.
That could be for our Dennisisms calendar if he doesn't have enough. We could just throw in some. No one.
We'll just make some up. Yeah. Yeah. It'll say asterisk king.
Yeah. Yeah. So the defense fully says, if they put on a big fat liar like him, what does that say about Alan Gold? He's probably lying too.
Maybe. Maybe.
It's not a bad theory. It's not a bad defense.
It's not. It's not.
He is a big fat liar, a thief, and a cheese. And so once they put on one liar, they've probably put on two liars. And also Alan has a motive to lie. He could have lied because he was scared he'd get charged with something.
Yeah.
And Alan, who is, he is back on the stand and he's being cross-examined. And he is so classy and respectful. And he says, I didn't whack the broad, so I didn't care if I was charged with something. And the lawyer says, you didn't whack the broad? And Alan says, I watch The Sopranos a lot.
Alan, you're not at a party.
Oh,
you're not at IHOP. You're not at the discotheque. You're in court talking about a mother who was taken from this earth too soon.
It's horrible. And also, I do think he is a poser and did just learn all of this from The Sopranos.
He is, and he's swiveling in his chair. He might as well be smacking gum.
Yeah.
It's really a lot. It's too much, Alan. Take it down a notch, buddy.
So the lawyer says, so do you find this whole thing comical? And he says, absolutely. And the lawyer says, why is that, sir? And he says, well, it took 20 years to get here. And they say, so that's why it's funny? And Alan says, your sense of humor is different than mine. Nah. And he makes that expression like, what are you going to do?
What you going to do about it, officer? Yeah. I can't.
He is despicable. So the defense is limited in what they're allowed to talk about with the drug theory, saying that they were actually running drugs that night.
Why?
But I'm not quite sure why. They just say they were limited. They weren't allowed to talk about it that much with Clifford's defense that he was running drugs that night. But they do get it in anyways. They say to Alan, isn't it true that you were smuggling drugs that night? And Alan says, bull bleep.
Mm.
He is rude on the stand. That American flag has no place on your lapel, sir.
I would just like straight answers from him.
Yeah.
Vibrato, no bravado kind of attitude. Just a very, what happened? Well,
they do say it could have been anything in that bag. You didn't even look in the bag, so you don't even know it was a body. And he says, it wasn't April Fool's. It was a body.
How do you know, man?
It's so weird that he was just going to be maybe charged with contempt for not testifying and put in jail for a few months, that he's willing to flip this hard on someone he has held a secret for 20 years.
Oh, I don't think he has any qualms about doing that whatsoever. Does it seem like he's broken up about it? He has no qualms about it.
No, but I think he's that much of a wuss and a poser that he is like scared to go to jail even for a few months, that he would flip that fast on his friend.
Agreed.
Yeah. So the jurors have a verdict on the first day. They find Clifford guilty of second degree murder. So they don't think it was premeditated, but they do think he did it. And at the sentencing, Ed speaks and he talks to Christian and talks about how much Lynn loved him. And Christian is chewing a lot of gum, but he's been through a lot. So I can't come down too hard on him for that.
No, you can't. I took it out of my notes, but I saw the same thing. I saw the exact same thing.
Then Christian speaks and he defends his father. He says his dad is the best person he knows and he never felt the need to ask his dad if he did it because his dad taught him right and wrong. Hmm. And he loved him too much to hurt him. Uh-huh. So the judge says to Clifford, it was despicable. She calls him despicable.
Yeah, the judge comes down on Clifford.
The way you cavalierly dumped her in the ocean. And he gives her life in prison. She gives him life in prison. And Dennis says to the investigators and the district attorney, Catherine, it's all about a boy and love for a boy. And Catherine says, I would argue that a father who would take away a boy's mother doesn't really love the boy that much. He loves himself more. And I thought
it was about control and not having something taken away from him.
Yep.
Mm.
She nailed it.
Yeah, she did. I think she did.
We have actually a promo this week that I would love to share before we go into B-roll Bonanza. It is from our friend Mike. Well, two friends, Mike. We got Mike Squared, Mike Ferguson, Mike Morford from Criminology. Yay. And we have swapped with them before. You guys know Criminology because they've been around since 2017, I think.
Wow.
They've been doing this the long haul like we have. And on my podcast app alone, they have over 1 million downloads. So you guys, if you have not been listening, you are missing out because they do a really, really good job and they know what they're talking about. So check them out, guys.
Check them out. Don't miss out.
Hey, all you true crime fans. This is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morf.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons.
We dive into a variety of cases in both the U.S. and abroad.
Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of, like the Pocatello babysitter murders or the canal murders.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime, like the Tylenol murders and the Lindbergh kidnapping. We also dive into cases that are currently breaking thanks to DNA and forensic genealogy.
Sometimes you'll hear from people connected to the cases, like the interview we did with the brother-in-law of the Golden State Killer, Joseph DeAngelo.
There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now, including full seasons covering the Zodiac Killer, the Golden State Killer, and Ted Bundy. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike Squared.
Thank you, Mikes.
Prison Mikes. What's up?
Oh, Prison Mikes.
Thank you, Criminology. Everyone, make sure you are subscribed. Okay. B-roll Bonanza.
B-roll Bonanza. We got lots of Miami.
So much Miami. So many boats on boats. Stacks on boats on boats on boats.
Boats on boats on boats. It was beautiful footage, though, actually. It made me really want to go to Miami. I've never been to Miami. Have you been?
Mm-hmm.
What's it like?
Like that.
Did you go to the Fontainebleau?
No, I didn't think I knew what the Fontainebleau was time.
I still really want to go. The IHOP footage was good. We get a close-up of an IHOP mug.
Yeah, syrup being poured, I think.
That was excellent. But the most important B-roll that I saw in this is Missy. Because we see 16 mugshots of Missy, and there's one of them where he's smiling. Like he just passed gas. I don't know how to put it.
It's like, they got me again.
It's such a dorky smile.
Yeah.
And they also show that smiling one at very opportune moments where they're like, Smiley wasn't reliable. And he's like, ooh.
I put the diaper. I put the recording device in the diaper. Whoopsie.
Whoops.
What did you have?
We see this photo of Clifford and Alan back in the day, and they're standing in front of this large room size hand. It's like a statue of a hand. So
I didn't see it.
And it's so tall that the fingers are coming out over their heads. It's literally a like 10-foot tall hand sculpture thing with these fingers that are coming out over their head.
Whose hand is it supposed to be? Hand of God?
No, it's very mannequin-y hand, like a puppet hand or something, like Pinocchio hand.
Geppetto hand?
Yeah, it's weird.
That's not great. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. That feels and weird.
The fingers are coming out. It's very creepy. Like, I would not pose in front of that.
No. No, I don't
I would
that.
Definitely pull down one of the fingers and make it look like I was picking my nose with it, though.
Oh, can you pull it down? Oh, you can
maybe.
Pull it?
I don't know. The whole thing might just topple over.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
And you die, and it's like, how would you die? Crushed by giant
hand Crushed
sculpture.
By giant hand in this random restaurant.
Yeah.
Wherever they are. That's weird. Yeah. Do you think they stayed in touch, Clifford and Al? I mean,
feel like Al got more cool progressively, and Clifford became a jowly banker look. And so I feel like Alan distanced himself from Clifford.
Clifford turned into a different human. Did Clifford have plastic surgery? Clifford looks like a different man.
I know. The Pennywise hair is totally different. It's all different.
His face is different. He had a new face who dis.
Yeah.
What is up with... I don't understand how that happened.
Cocaine will do that to you. It changes your whole nose.
Really?
Yeah.
The braid. Gold's braid.
Yeah.
I really wanted more pictures of that because we're actually...
Waist length.
We're told that it's waist length, and I feel like Dennis needed to put that in because we don't get a picture of it. And
right,
so,
we only see it go kind of halfway down his back.
Yeah, we see it, which means that it had to be long when they did the drug run, if it's halfway down his back by the wedding.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to grow hair. I mean, maybe he's taking pros. I don't know what's going on.
The supplements.
Also, why does he have a Stetson hat? Does he live in Florida? I just feel like people don't wear Stetsons in Florida. That feels weird to me.
He is a mountain man / soprano from New York / he's all across America.
He did speak with an accent, though, right?
He did. He just spoke like Prison Mike.
Okay. I felt like I was making it up, and then I watched it a couple of times to make sure.
No, he did.
I didn't know if I was just trying to
hear it. But a lot of people move from New York to Florida. But he had been there for like many years now, decades.
See? Al Gold could be from anywhere.
Yeah.
But New York or
probably
Florida.
Probably New York, though.
I do feel like probably New York, but I'm not sure.
Like he was a jeweler, because what else wouldn't you be a jeweler if your last name was Gold?
So was he down there in Miami dealing with diamonds? Did this have something to do with the drugs?
Maybe, and that's how he met Clifford with the pawn shop.
But here's the deal. So Clifford didn't have the boat. The boat was, the go-fast boat was...
It's Al's.
Al's.
Yeah.
So was Al also running drugs?
He says no, but where if Clifford is a convicted drug smuggler, he has a boat hookup that he uses regularly. So,
and we also know that Al's kind of a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He lied to the police and stuff. So I don't know. All right. Anyways,
Brand's unhappy being on Dateline.
Oh,
IHOP?
Probably.
Because all I'm picturing now is a baby crying at the next booth, which just is the most uncomfortable you're ever going to be at a restaurant.
It just also changes everything knowing that there might be a wire in that baby's diaper, and that's why it's screaming.
I know.
Because his tush is getting hot.
And it's all sticky from the syrup.
Oh, yuck.
Ugh. I don't want to go to that IHOP.
No,
anywhere
I really
there's
don't.
A diaper, just I don't want to be there.
Also, isn't there a lot of food in Miami? Why are you eating at IHOP? I mean, IHOP has good stuff, but it's just...
That was their place, I guess. Missy, I don't think, had a ton of money.
No. No, Missy was a low-level criminal. That smiley mugshot.
And maybe
shot.
A single dad? And then
oh, and
he
a
has
single
a
dad!
There?
Oh, my gosh, he has a baby. Oh, that's right. It makes it so much worse. Oh, my gosh. I can't stand it. All right, titles, what you have?
Oh, we're not doing Fashion Police?
Oh, I did. Sorry. What else do you have? I was just
you
talking about
Gold. You did Fashion Police?
Yeah, I was just talking about Gold and his braid and his Stetson hat.
The friend is wearing animal print. And the state's attorney is wearing animal print. two animal prints. We haven't gotten animal print in such a long time, but we used to get it so often that it's on our bingo cards.
You're totally right, and I completely ignored it.
Yeah.
It just seemed right.
The 89 wedding of Clifford and Lynn, she's wearing baby's breath wreath around her hair. Super 80s.
Also, and his other wedding, her dress with the veil, the poof sleeves.
And then in court, Clifford as the jolly banker, his suit is like three sizes too big, at least. The sleeves go down past his knuckle.
I think he's been in prison a while by the time they get to court is what happened.
Yeah.
But you're right.
He was watching that Spanish soap opera all the time.
Apparently so. I wonder why they couldn't show us that guy's face, that snitch.
Because he was proven to be a liar. Because he's under charges for perjury. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's why. Sorry, we talked about All My Fashion Police during the episode. I just would like to reiterate Lynn's hair.
Yeah.
The feather was perfect.
It really was.
Her feathered
and
princess
so was Christian
guy.
As a little boy with the mullet. My brother kind of had that mullet.
He did?
Yeah.
Mullets are very cute on little boys. It's really something special.
Okay, titles.
I don't have that good of ones, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I have Fingering in Florida.
Dang it!
Because there is fingering.
Because no.
Al sort of fingers Clifford.
Stop
but
saying
also
it.
That giant hand statue.
Oh, my
gosh. The fingers that are over both of their heads.
That I didn't see. Dang it. All right.
And then I have With Friends Like These.
Oh, good.
Because his last name was Friend.
That's strong.
All I have.
I did Lynn Friend and Her Foe.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moons Over My Ham Bone.
Okay.
That's for you because Al is a full ham bone.
Thank you. I was trying to get with like eye hopping to the truth.
Oh, that's great.
Eye hopping.
Yeah, that's
hopping
really
mad.
Good.
Eye hopping mad.
Eye hopping mad is good too. Oh, that's good. They're both good. That's excellent. What about All Roads Scholars Leads to Clifford?
Did you do that while we were recording?
Because I don't like any of my other ones. So I had a hard time. I don't know why. There was too. Sometimes you're just spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
There were too many easy ones. Like we had gold. Yeah. That always happens. But this was such a fun episode. I feel really bad. Lynn seemed lovely. It was.
Yes, she did. But this episode
awful.
Had it all.
Yeah, it
really also,
did.
Shout out to Deirdre on Twitter, who won bingo, but not for this episode, for He Lied About Everything, which is one of our old episodes. You can play bingo on our old episodes. That's fine.
That's allowed.
She got like multiple bingos too. You can find our bingo cards on our website at datewithdateline.com.
Yay! Thank you so much, everyone. And so, check out our supercast.
Check out our supercast. Make sure you're following us on social media. We do fun stuff on there all the time on Instagram and on Twitter. And I'm not on Facebook that much, but I actually have been on every week. I've been trying to check in and respond to people's messages. So tip of the hat to me, Kimberly.
Yeah, big tip of the hat. Tip of the Stetson. The Dementos. Sorry, I can't get over that he's talking like prison. I can't get over it. I was so shocked by that.
So maybe I'll put him on the stand and I'll put the bandana, a purple bandana around his head. Like I'll do it on Canva.
Yes.
And that will be our social media post. Thank you, everybody. Be your own cocaine cowboy.
No.
Don't do drugs.
Stay away from drug running, but maybe get yourself a moon over my hammy.
Yeah, and stay fresh, cheese bags. Somebody had said that they missed it, so I had to bring it back.
All right, stay fresh, ham bones. Bye!
Bye. I know you will, because you guys are good at asking questions, which is why you're going to be good at asking me anything.
Yeah.
Except sex stuff.
I don't think anyone's going to ask that.
I'm just preparing myself so that I will be pleasantly surprised if there aren't any.
I can't even imagine what someone would ask.
What's your favorite position?
Who would ask that? I feel like we don't have that kind of a podcast where people would like really want to know that.
We don't even cuss on our show.
I know. I feel like that would be the last thing people would ask. I feel like it might be more like, tell me about your medical history. Feel like more like, I'm more worried about just incredibly intrusive questions. I am hoping that it's just very nice softball questions about the cats, about your family, not about my family, maybe fashion.
Yeah.
Maybe cross-stitching tips.
Uh-huh.
I'm just giving advice for the questions.
Dateline. They can ask about Dateline.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you guys ask about Dateline?
Any TV show.
Ask about any TV show, seriously. Yeah. Yeah, we love to talk about TV. All right.
I don't mind answering anything. I'm literally an open book. Not literally. That would be weird. It would be like my insides were cut open and I was like, bloop.
Again, medical history. Open. That's the medical history portion of the.
Have you ever been an open book?
Have you ever had open heart surgery?
Is an open book a sex position?
Were you a National Rhodes Scholar?
No.
You weren't?
No. Do you know how rare that is? I don't even know how you go about doing that. I don't even know what it entitles.
I'm going to pretend like you were.
I just know
like
it means
you're
like
thought you were
incredibly smart.
I kind of thought you were, so I'm going to pretend like you were. I'm going to somehow make you a fake National Rhodes Scholar plaque.
And
all right,
Clifford.
Stop.
Yeah.
There is an Alan Gold's discotheque in Chattanooga. I feel like there's a really good chance that this Alan Gold owns.
Runs it.
That
yeah,
Alan
possible.
Gold... the Alan Gold discotheque that is a hot spot. Oh, it's a gay hot spot. Long-running, lively, multi-level gay hot spots,
oh.
DJ music, and drag shows.
Oh,
he
fun.
Definitely doesn't own it. I changed my mind.
You should go
there. I should go there, but that is funny. Okay.